Good afternoon. We have to talk something about what's going on with mask and those who want you to wear them and those who don't want you to wear them. Let me state a few facts. There is no 100% guarantee that if you wear a mask out, that you will not catch the coronavirus. However, if everybody wears masks, the risk is significantly reduced. Not completely eliminated, but significantly reduced. Now, in any other time, had this happened in any other administration, I firmly believe, yes, you would still have some people who are would be complaining about wearing masks, who would probably want to stomp their little feet and say, I'm not going to wear it because it's infringing upon my rights. But the vast majority of people, the overwhelmingly vast majority of people, would do this because they feel like it's important for the sake of the country. But for some reason in recent times, we're told by those in power that individuals matter more than the collective whole. That anybody's infringing on anybody's rights, regardless of the impact that it may have on the entire nation, is wrong. This is a very selfish viewpoint. This is not some attempt to try and infringe upon your rights. This is trying to protect people. You, me, everyone. In many cases, it's not even a requirement. It's a highly recommended thing. It should be a requirement across the board. And I still, for the life of me, do not understand why this has not been a requirement from the very beginning. Other countries had these same recommendations. Many of those countries already relaxing restrictions. New Zealand and Australia have relaxed restrictions, especially New Zealand. They tamed this. Here, we let up way too early. Not that we weren't warned about that. And now we're paying the price for it. And still, with all the facts, we still have people who are complaining about wearing masks, who get in a fit about wearing masks, who even shot people who want them to wear masks. We're trying to protect you, those of us who advocate for masks. I know it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable for me too. I know you don't like it. But people are making all the excuses in the world. And yes, I'm aware that current law dictates in some states that if you conceal carry, you can't wear a mask. Guess what? In many cases, there are provisions already in there for something like this, or they're not going to be enforced anyway right now because politicians and police officers and judges and such understand the circumstances. So just because you're concealed carry, you can still wear your mask. It's fine. I don't think any police officer is going to arrest you for trying to protect yourself from this virus. And if they do, they should be fired. This is about protecting each other. But for some reason, I don't know how this came about, whether it was the president's fault, whether it was people around the president trying to score political points, because their handling of this situation has been abysmal at best. And that's not just me talking. You look at the polls, you look at what people are saying, not just Democrats, not just independents, but even some Republicans, some highly ranked Republicans are right now saying, hey, we've made a lot of errors here. Even Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, who I'm not fond of whatsoever, has said people should wear a mask. Over the weekend, shocked as I am to hear this, but Jeannie Pirro, Pura, whatever her name is, the lady on the former judge that's on Fox News that's been a real lunatic at times, shockingly enough, said people should wear a mask. And now she's being attacked for being, quote, sheep. Don't follow the sheep. Since when is trying to advocate for the protection of other people's lives is following the sheep? Not every time you follow like a sheep is a bad thing. And for some reason, we've gotten to this point where it's like, oh my God, you know, it's a horrible thing to actually have to advocate for the health and well-being of people, apparently, because it's supposedly infringing. Here's my argument against that. A, there is no such thing as absolute 100% total freedom, because that's anarchy. We all have limits to our freedom. And that limit in this country is when your freedoms infringe upon the freedoms of other people, enjoying their freedoms. So the boundaries are not necessarily imposed upon by the government directly. It's basically to make sure your rights don't infringe upon the rights of others. It is more of a societal limitation than anything else. You can't go into a crowded movie theater, or can't do it right now, obviously, but in other non-pandemic times, you can't go into a crowded movie theater and yell fire. You can't go into a packed store and yell somebody's got a gun, and the fact they don't, because of the chaos. Because you will be charged, and rightly so. The problem is we forget in our society that when it comes to rights, there are also these things called responsibilities. And we don't go out of our way to remember that, because we have become a very selfish nation. We are more about me than about we in this country. And the more I think about it, the more it just makes me really angry, because we should be thinking about each other right now. Many of us are, including myself. That's why I wear my mask out. I'm not perfect. Occasionally I'll forget. I'll get really mad at myself for doing it. So I can't claim I'm 100% perfect in that. But I do my very best to remember to wear one when I'm out in public, not just to protect myself or my family, but other people. In the chance I might be carrying it and I'm asymptomatic, I should say, if I'm trying to say that, asymptomatic. Wearing a mask is not so much about protecting yourself as it is to protect others. That is the whole point of this. And I think it shows something about American culture right now, across a vast swath of people, racial groups and all this. It's about selfishness. It's about self-centeredness. It's about me, 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 me. And this cuts across all lines of American society. We are very selfish right now. We shouldn't be. We could have had this thing beat already. We have leadership that isn't wanting to impose itself when need be. There are times in American history when the government has had to impose. World War II, they had to impose rationing. They had to, and people accepted it. Were they happy about it? No. Were there people who protested against it? I'm sure there were. But the vast majority of people understood we were at war against an enemy that wanted to conquer us. Okay? We don't understand that this is a disease that has no, it's not even alive, it's a virus. It doesn't care about you. It just wants to do its job. because it's programmed that way. It's by nature. I don't know how it came about. And we can talk all we want to about who was to blame. Yes, it started in China. Yes, the Chinese government tried to cover it up until they couldn't anymore. That is indisputable. And there'll be a reckoning for them, whether it's by their own people or most likely international community. They're going to have to answer for this. But our response in this country has been telling. We can't just shove that under the rug. Here's the thing. This is an unprecedented, and you've probably heard that word over and over again from not just myself, but more likely other people as well. This is an unprecedented crisis. There is no playbook, except there is one. A century ago, we're making the same mistakes with the Spanish influenza that were made in the Spanish influenza. When it first came about, it killed a lot of people, but we managed to contain it. People got confident, stopped wearing masks, started going out more. The virus came back, or the flu came back. The medical professionals at the time who were working with practically Stone Age technology, considering what we have today, warned that we needed to impose the restrictions back. People didn't want to go back to mask. There were anti-mask leagues around. And what happened? Far more people died in the second wave than the first. But here's the problem. We're not even done with the first wave yet. It all comes down to this instant gratification society that we're in right now. All about me. All about getting what I want right now, instantly. We don't know how to sacrifice. We don't know how to sacrifice for the greater good of not just your community, but your nation. Our grandfathers and grandmothers did. Our great-grandmothers, in some cases, great-grandfathers did. My grandfather had to live through the Great Depression and World War I and II. There were sacrifices needed for the good of the country. Back then, of course, the enemy was tangible. You could see the enemy. You could shoot the enemy. You could curse the enemy. Here, you can't see it unless you have an electron microscope. What's scary about all of this, ladies and gentlemen, is that we don't understand just how deadly this thing can be. I hear people, well, there's a 99% recovery rate. What about the 1% who don't recover? 1 out of 100 people. That seems like, oh, that's good odds. No, it's not. My high school grad class, about 200 some odd people. That's 2 people. Doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be 2 people I don't know anything about. Doesn't necessarily mean that one of the 2 people is not going to be me. And there's no guarantee that it's going to stay that way. Okay? The reason for this, all of this, the social distancing, the mask, the cleaning up like crazy, is to lower the odds even further, to crush this to where we can get this done and over with as quickly as possible so that society could move back on. But our leadership, and it's not just Trump, it's not just Republicans. I have bones to pick with de Blasio in New York, with Cuomo in New York State, with Newsom in California and others, and Roy Cooper here. And I've also said things that a few weeks ago, I said maybe we should open back up a little bit. Maybe we should open the bars back up. If we're going to open up the restaurants and have bars in them, why not just open the bars too? That, in retrospect, was not a smart thing. Maybe we should have been more restrictive. We don't like restrictions. I'm sure I don't like restrictions. But if we don't get a hold of this, that's the one thing we don't understand about this, apparently, is that, yeah, 99% of the people right now are recovering from this. That doesn't mean that 99% in the future will recover from this. That could go down significantly, especially if it mutates even further. We have to get a hold of this. We don't have a common cause in this country about beating this thing. We've got people who won't wear masks because they've been told by right-wing media that somehow or another this is infringing upon their rights and their freedoms. By that logic, allowing the government to impose rations during World War II was an infringement upon their freedoms. Yeah, there were farmers who were able to raise their own meat, raise their own eggs, have their own milk and butter and whatnot to circumvent those rations and all of that. They probably sold it too. That doesn't surprise you, but we needed that at the time, and you rarely heard of anybody complaining about it. It was probably more prevalent back then than you hear now, because history tells us people were okay with it. I can guarantee you there were people who weren't. There were gas rations. There were other rations. I'm sure some people were upset by it. Now we're seeing that same thing. We've got problems with ground beef because you have meat processors having to deal with the coronavirus being shut down because so many people are infected with this. It's a failure of leadership. This is why Trump is going to lose, primarily. Because as much as he wants to blame China, as much as he wants to say it's the China virus and all this, the Kung Fu virus, and all this crap, which is blatantly racist, in my opinion, it's his responsibility to protect the nation he leads as best he can from this, and he has failed miserably. There's no question about that. And now he's wanting to hold rallies again. He is in denial about this. People are in denial about this, folks. They want to pretend it's going to go away. And it's not, ladies and gentlemen. And that's the frustrating thing about all of this. I want it to go away too. I'd love to snap my fingers like Q in Star Trek and let it go away. Boom, it's gone. Okay, we can go back to baseball season. Can start tomorrow. We can start everything back up. Everything's fine. There you go. It's done. No, we can't do that. You can't deny this. It's there. And people go, well, you know, there's so few deaths compared. Yeah. That's because we're starting to get a handle on this somewhat to keep people from dying. Doesn't mean that these people's lives aren't being affected significantly because of this. There is a lot of evidence out there saying if you get it and survive, you're going to pay the price either short-term or long-term with issues with your lungs, with issues with your immune system and other organs and such. Look, folks, we got to be grown up here. We got to look at this and say, okay, this is a problem. We have a way to solve it. It's not going to be easy. It's going to require great sacrifice. It's going to mean that we're going to have to miss out on a lot of things. And it sucks. But that's life sometimes. There were people complaining about missing out on their children's graduation this year from high school. I understand that. It sucks. But having your kid die of this disease would suck even further. And people go, well, you know, the odds are not that great of getting it to begin with. Sure. But the risk is there. You may get it. May take it to somebody that doesn't have as robust of an immune system as you do. This is the problem. It's all about greed. It's all about selfishness and self-centeredness. It's all about, well, it's not going to affect me. It's not affected me. Yeah, it's probably not going to affect you if you have a good health immune system. But what about those other people who you encounter every single day? It makes me wonder, if Russia and China would declare war on us right now as we're vulnerable and attack us, and we have to do what we need to do to give our armed forces what they need to protect us, how many people are willing to do that? Are you really so sure that everybody's going to be on the same page and sacrificing? That's a good question. This is a crisis, folks. Much worse than 9/11. We've lost, 340,000 people because of this in 3 months, 4 months, something like that? That's a whole lot of people. And you can say, well, you know, other diseases kill. Yeah. Not as quickly as this. And this is something we could, and to me, it's just making excuses so that you don't have to have to sacrifice in order to get rid of this. Look, I lost my job because of this. I had a damn good job. And I lost it because of this. I'm willing to do what's necessary to beat this thing. Okay? People are going to say, well, you shouldn't have. Yeah. I really don't want to do it. But if it means staying at home when I'm not working, I'll do it. If it means being bored off my butt, watching Netflix or Hulu or YouTube or Amazon Prime or whatever, I'll do it. To protect other people. That's not happening because people want to be out on the lake. They want to be out on the beach. This is a test, ladies and gentlemen. This is a test of your compassion for other people. And you are failing miserably. You don't care about your fellow Americans. You just care about your kith and kin. And even then, you probably don't. Because at the end of the day, it's all about you. And that's the problem in this country. This goes way beyond the pandemic. This has been with us for decades. We used to be a country that thought about our neighbors and such. We used to know our neighbors. We used to get involved in the community. We used to think about that. And there are people today who still do. But more often than not, they don't. And the reason for this is it's all about us. We don't want people to have different opinions. I'm fine if you have a different opinion. You better damn well defend it. You better damn well have a fact for it, because I'm going to come at you and say, okay, I back my stuff up with facts. This is where I've come from, this opinion. Where did you come from? Up from your opinion, not from some lunatic on the website, whatever it is, that's spouting conspiracy theories. And this is the problem. Is the media completely perfect? No. They've got plenty of faults, and I've talked about them on this podcast over the years. Not just on this one, on Spreaker, but also on Blog Talk Radio way back in the day. It's the fact that there are people who wholesale reject media completely. Not because of what their experience is, but because somebody has told them that the media is out to get them. The media lies. Here's the problem with that. Okay? And let me tell you why the so-called liberal media isn't what you think it is. There are some people who believe NBC, CBS, ABC, CNN, all these major newspapers are all lined up in unison, arm in arm, against the right wing, against Trump, against other people like that. Okay? NBC, ABC, and CBS are competing one another to get advertising. it's a very tough business. Advertising dollars aren't what they once were. They don't have the budgets they used to have in Cronkite's day. Okay? They're trying to have this extraordinary news coverage outfit basically on a shoestring because investors want to get a return on investment. And more often than not, companies are wanting to get by spending as little as possible to get the maximum amount of dollars. And that is not just in your little neck of the woods. That's across the board, including in newsrooms and news studios across the country, and newspapers and television networks and cable news networks and all of this around the country. The push for ratings is everything. And yes, news gathering isn't what it once was because it's not about just gathering news anymore. It's about getting people to watch the news. If you've ever watched the movie Network back 40 years ago, almost 45 years ago now, it foretold what we're seeing right now, which is that in local and cable and national network news, it's no longer about getting the story right as much as it is getting people to watch the story. It's tabloid, sensationalist. It has infected so-called mainstream media. Okay, I'm going to tell you that right now. It's about popping a number. It's about getting people to click on your site, to watch your video, to watch your news coverage, your news programs, whatever. Because if you have a higher number, you generate more ad rates, you generate more money. That's why your local newscast doesn't always lead with the county commissioners are meeting today to discuss a new highway to come through. No, more often than not, it's somebody getting shot or somebody getting robbed or some fire or some other sensationalist thing to get you hooked in to this. Let me give you an example. I'm venturing way off topic right now, admittedly, but I like talking about the media, and I'm going to talk about the media right now. We all will admit right now that child molestation and child abductions are a very big deal. But have they always been as big of a deal now and not back then, when you didn't have 24/7 media, when you only could get your news at 6 p.m., 11 p.m. on the local stations, when the newspapers were the main source of the meat and potatoes of media and such? In many ways, it's a good thing because we're able to catch the people quicker that do this stuff. There's probably people who were sexually assaulted and never have said a word about it because they were taught not to. There were kids that were probably abducted that have never been found because we didn't have the information back then as we do now about how to find these children or how to prevent children from being abducted anyway. Okay, so we have all this news gathering technology. I have the ability right now to talk to you from my bedroom live on Spreaker, taped on Spreaker and Anchor. You're probably listening to this on a podcast somewhere. I don't have a fancy studio. I have a laptop and a cell phone doing this on two different platforms. That's it. I don't have a $1,000 studio. I've invested maybe, $100 on my phone, $200 on my laptop, plus whatever cell data and internet stuff I'm investing in this. Not a lot, not compared to what it was 30 years ago. If I wanted to do something like this, I would have had to get an FCC license. I would have had to build a studio. I would have had to do all of this, get advertising and all of this. Ladies and gentlemen, this is life right now in America today. We communicate very, very quickly nowadays. And that doesn't always necessarily mean it's a good thing. That means our people.